Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. Today, I'm very happy to be talking with Maureen Wolbeoff. Maureen, how are you?
I am fantastic. It's right before the holiday weekend as we're recording this, and I'm getting ready to slide out of here at some point later today.
Do you have anything special planned for the weekend?
I'm taking a couple days off with my partner after the holidays, and so I'm looking forward to next week when we're both going to chill out a little bit together.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I pandemic being what it is, this weekend doesn't feel a whole lot different than any others these days. But
not in 2020.
Right.
Very different than weekends in 2019.
Right. Right. I've heard something about a fireworks show, but I'm not really that keen. So we're going to talk about technology today. But first, I wanted to get a little bit more of an introduction for our listeners. You call yourself a consultant, and you have your own consulting firm. Is that correct?
That's right. I'm a nonprofit digital strategist and technology coach.
Wow. Okay. What exactly does that mean?
So what that means is that I know a lot about how organizations can use their technology, whether it's a database and the data inside that database, or their email marketing tools, social media channels, websites, event management systems, member management systems, online fundraising, and the strategy gets to be applied to the technology in what you choose to use and how you configure it and the ways that you use it to strengthen your organization and extend the capacity of your staff.
Right. You know, technology is always built as this capacity building tool, but I get the idea that nonprofits still in many ways struggle with technology in some degree. Would you agree with that sentence? And what would you say are some of the more consistent challenges you see crossing your desk?
Yeah, I completely agree. And it doesn't matter whether the organization is small and mighty or large and well-funded. Everyone struggles with their technology, their systems and software. I think that many times what I find, the pain points present themselves in a variety of ways, but the ultimate scenario is that people feel like they are working in service of their technology and not the other way around, that they've got a lot of responsibilities and tasks feeding the technology machine or working around limitations or living with problems that they've had for a long time. And so it doesn't really feel like the tech is there to help me. It feels like it's one more thing that I have to do.
Right. I do understand that. I have a frequent rant, which may be related to this topic, but I have this rant. You know, I love technology as long as it's transparent. And the minute that it stops working or the minute that it's not doing what I want it to do, it is no longer transparent and has now become a headache.
That's right.
So is this the kind of thing you run across, and how then do you get the technology to become transparent again?
Yeah, well, I love that phrase, transparency. And I think I'll layer on predictability. You know, like it needs to work the same way every time, and technology can be flawless for us for a long time, and then suddenly it throws us a curveball. We're not quite sure what to do about it. And I'll even use Facebook. Facebook live videos are something that I do every week, and they're a lot of fun, and I often bring guests on, and Mickey, I want to bring you on, and we'll talk about that afterwards.
That would be awesome, yes.
But Facebook totally changed their live video interface just a few weeks ago. And so what I've been able to do kind of mindlessly and automatically, suddenly everything is in a different place and I can't really see comments that people are making during the live video. So it turns into a thing, right? Like now I've got to spend time boning up on something that I thought I was already an expert at. And that can be disheartening and frustrating. In terms of helping people get technology to work predictably and transparently, it starts with figuring out what the pain points really are and what the root causes of those pains are. We tend to blame the technology over and over again. It's really easy. It's not a person. I can say, darn this CRM or this crazy email marketing tool, whatever has given me some grief. But the root cause of that pain can be very different from organization to organization, and sometimes even very different from team to team inside the same nonprofit. So if someone comes to me and they say, we can't get reports, very common, you know, I can't get reports out of this thing. We got to move out of our database. It's terrible. And after spending a little bit of discovery time with them, what I find is that their database administrator was never trained. You know, the original person when the database was brought into the organization has left because turnover is a thing inside nonprofits. Uh-huh. And the replacement person was sort of given a login and a password and maybe some thoughts and prayers. You know, like, here, go do what Mary used to do. And they sort of, we all figure our way through it and we hit our own roadblocks, we develop our own workarounds. So for that particular scenario, this person just needed some training, some real training, so that they could grow in confidence and competence in using that system. So we blame the tech always first. It's easy to do. And usually there's another cause, at least one other root cause that's important to fix before you pack up and move. You know, the phrase that I use a lot is, if you hate your dining room table, don't buy a new house, because you're going to bring that dining room table into your beautiful new home and you're still going to have your same feelings about that dining room table every time you sit down to eat. So be sure you're solving the right problem. Give yourselves a little bit of internal reflection time to think about what the root cause really might be.
Right. Do you find more often than not that it's an issue of training?
Training is usually at play. Mm-hmm. Not only training, but a related issue is standard business processes, right? Like Mary enters gifts like this and uses the notes field in this way. Bob enters gifts like that and puts notes someplace else in the database. Or, you know, perhaps the tool itself needs to be updated. You know, right. There might be new functionality that nobody's using. They're spending all their time complaining about what's not working instead of trying to invest the time in making the system work.
Right, right. So the trick is, in that case, you know, finding out where those deficiencies are, and if it is training, let's help them get it. Or mm-hmm. Do you conduct that training as well?
I can, depending on the system. There are so many systems out there right now. It's not possible to really be an expert on all of them. But one thing that my many, many years of working in the nonprofit technology space helps me bring to the table for clients and even just the general public is being able to connect them with people who do good work, charge reasonable prices, and will give them the high touch service that most nonprofits are looking for at a price that they can afford. I'm completely unbiased. I don't care what people use. I don't care who they work with. It just needs to be a good fit for their needs and their budget and their technology skills.
Right, right. So I always ask my guests to send me bullet points, and I think we've been dancing around most of the first one already, which was why nonprofit tech seems so overwhelming. How then, moving on, would we say, how does a nonprofit get a good return on their technology investment?
Mm-hmm. Well, so often we think that it's how much we're paying, right?
Right.
Like, I'm paying X and I better be getting Y out of it. The example I often use, Mickey, is my smartphone. So I upgraded to a newer version of an iPhone a couple of months ago, and I use about $40 worth of that phone. You know, I use email, I use Facebook, I check weather, text, stuff like that. But there's right. A whole bunch of things that the phone can do that I don't take advantage of. I don't look at my phone and go, you know, I'm wasting $360 on this phone. So it's all about what you expect it to do and having reasonable expectations for that tool's sweet spots, what it's really good at. The return on investment comes with the team inside the nonprofit organization really using it strategically. So one of the things I do with many of my clients is hold a strategic technology planning meeting with them. It's usually about an hour, maybe 90 minutes. Can do it virtually through Zoom. And we talk about the next 3 to 5 years in the organization's growth. Where are you going to be? What's happening? Do you have new programs? Do you have more staff? Where are you focusing your energy around goals? And then how will new systems, or how can the systems you have now be lined up to help you achieve those goals? And often, many, many times, it's the first time the right people inside the organization have sat down and talked about strategy and technology in one meeting. Huh. They're usually separate.
Interesting. And well, I mean, and again, six questions in my mind, but
yeah,
among them are, during that meeting is when you actually fold in the need for ongoing training. Presumably there's an assessment of the actual technological infrastructure as well, right? So
yeah.
Are you able then to predict, like if they say, here's what the 5-year plan for the organization from a programmatic perspective looks like? The reason I'm asking this next question is the world of software changes quickly, and the world of technology tends to move pretty quickly still, even though you know, we're no longer asking each other what the processing speed of a computer is. But you know, software does change, features do change. How are you able to predict what a nonprofit may need or not need in a field of things that's always evolving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. Certainly it is always evolving, and it's like a blessing and a curse right now for nonprofits, because the blessing is there's so much choice in the marketplace. There is just new stuff showing up all the time. And the curse is there's just so much stuff showing up all the time. So after that strategic technology planning meeting, I've got a sense of, you know, the agreements that the organization has made about their priorities. Maybe they want to grow their membership by a certain amount. Maybe they want to get the average gift to be higher. Maybe they want to focus on volunteers or peer-to-peer fundraising or what have you. Once they've made those agreements, I send the meeting notes back to the organization's team. And at that point, I have them fill out a functionality requirements worksheet. Often people aren't thinking strategically when they're faced with the list of, yeah, I want mail merge. Yeah, I want a drag and drop email editor. Yeah, I want peer-to-peer fundraising. This way, they've made the connection between what they want to do in the next couple of years, and that's being used to inform the actual functionality of a tool set. And often I'll say, you know, what you have now actually can do all this. So do you really want to look around? The other thing I'll add here, Mickey, is that people's requirements are not just about functionality. They're also about budget, you know, investment of time and money and people power and brain power, the skills that people have inside an organization, and whether or not they want to be able to do things all themselves or they expect to pay for some outside help along the way. Integration is another big thing that people are searching for, the nirvana of best in show kind of system. So they've got a database that they love and it's integrated with an email tool that works well for them and their needs and has online fundraising capabilities and an event calendar or whatever their mix is. Sending data between systems is essential. And I find often that organizations are still struggling with data silos where data kind of goes to die, you know, like the email is over here and we never add those names into our fundraising system or into our database. Or if a donor gives in person and we collect that email address, nobody ever sends that over to the email marketing tool to include them in our newsletters, stuff like that. Right. So the data moving is critical right now.
Mm. We're rapidly running out of time, but I wanted to cover this thing that you wrote in your notes for me. But what is the 4P framework?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that you asked, Mickey. Thanks. So the four P's is another framework that I use with clients. I talk about it a lot at conferences and things that is all about categorizing and aligning the four elements I feel make a nonprofit healthy and growing. And they are, the first P is plan. You know,
yeah.
Do you have a plan? You need to have a plan and everybody aligned towards achieving that plan. You also need to have the right people. That's the second P, with the right skill set and the right attitudes. You need to have the right platforms to do what you need them to do. And finally, you need to have the right business processes so that internally you're working efficiently and effectively and leveraging marketing automation or things that don't actually take a human person to do. If they're not all in alignment, it's kind of like the four wheels on a car. You're going to spin a tire there and you're going to use up a lot of energy going nowhere. And if you look at your organization and you wonder why it's so hard to make things happen, it's probably because one or more of your four P's are out of alignment with the others.
Mm-hmm. So who in the organization gets to stay on top of that to make sure that all four tires are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Everyone.
Yeah.
That's my cheater answer, right? I'm a big believer in collaboration and really clear expectations within a team. So making agreements about how are you going to stay on top of these things. Maybe you form a tech users group that you meet once every other month and you look at those four P's. Perhaps it's something that the leadership team takes on at their level and develops their own methodology of monitoring and adjusting as needed.
Right, right. So maybe my own expectation that technology simply remain transparent is not a realistic one. Maybe that's a bad hangup that I've got.
It serves you, right? So I wouldn't call it bad. I think being realistic about how things have to work together and not seeing a piece of tech in a vacuum can go a long way to help people fix the right things and have a better ecosystem all around.
Right, right. Maureen, I love this conversation. We need to circle back at some point in the future and talk about technology some more. For now, if a listener wanted to be in touch with you, how would you recommend they go about doing that?
Sure. So I've got a website, of course. It's meetmaureen.com. Lots of free resources and downloads and checklists and worksheets and blog posts in there. You can also find me on social media, especially Facebook, The Accidental Techie with Maureen Walbioff. That's my tagline, practical wisdom for nonprofit accidental techies. That's all of us. And they can also find me on Twitter at Meet Maureen and under my name, Maureen Walbioff, at LinkedIn. I'm on all of those places every day.
Fantastic. And I can't wait to talk about the opportunity to appear on your program as well.
Yep. Look for an email, my friend.
Yep, absolutely.
We'll be on the way.
In the meantime, thanks for making the time to do this recording with me today. I really appreciate it.
Such a pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity, Mickey. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you as always for joining us for the Nonprofit Snapcast. We value your comments and feedback via the website. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org. And if you have any questions about the consulting work that we do, please visit nonprofitsnapshot.org. That's nonprofitsnapshot, not to be confused with Nonprofit Snapcast. nonprofitsnapshot.org. Click on the consulting tab at the top of the screen and you'll see the list of things that we're currently doing in partnerships with consultants across the country. In the meantime, thanks again for joining us. We'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.